From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, March 31st, 2016. Can you believe that this is the final day in the month of March? Man, did that fly by or what? Well, I'll tell you what, we plan on closing out your month with a bang here on the show. Again, we will take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., just like we do each and every weekday here on the show. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And yes, folks, we will talk about the D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young situation out in L.A., both actually holding press conferences before that L.A. Lakers and Miami Heat game yesterday. You'll get a chance to hear what D'Angelo Russell had to say. Also, the McDonald's All-American game took place yesterday at the United Center in the Chi. That's right, Chicago, Illinois. And a few players who will be taking their talents to Michigan State, they were just putting on the show, all right? You'll get a chance to hear our breakdown of the Mickey D's All-Star game. And of course, Josh Jackson, who was actually named co-MVP last night, where is he going? And it was fun to watch him play. I'm starting to see now why this kid is the number one recruit for the class of 2016. We will also talk plenty of hockey on today's show, as we will invite Current Sports production assistant Jason Ruff. 2 minutes for Ruffing. We'll be heading your way in just a second. We will talk about the Red Wings. Will the Wings make the playoffs? That is the question. And we will also chat about a young man who will be taking his talents from the Michigan State Spartan hockey program to the pros. And on the back end of the show, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you, and we will give you a preview of tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down with Mr. Adam Biggers of Today's U Sports. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this March 31st. All right, MSU target Josh Jackson shined at the Mickey D's All-American game in Chicago. The number one player in the country was named co-MVP and picked up 19 points in the contest. Spartan commit Miles Bridges, though, he had some highlights as well.
On the run out, Markel Fultz leaving it back for Bridges to throw it down with some authority and flair. On his way to Michigan State.
Yes, that off-the-glass windmill was absolutely redonkulous. Let's hope the Spartan fans will get to enjoy that many, many times over during his freshman year next season. All right, well, the 2016 MSU football freshman class is complete. Austin Robertson has been accepted to Michigan State. Robertson was charged with battery in January, if you remember, and has been accepted into a pretrial divisionary program. Now, Mark D'Antonio initially opted not to sign Robertson in order to further evaluate the situation. Now it seems that Coach D has decided to bring the young man on campus. Great news for the Spartan football program. All right, Spartan hockey forward Mackenzie McEachern will forgo his senior season and sign a 2-year entry-level contract with the St. Louis Blues. Now, the same team that drafted him 67th overall, if you remember, in the 2012 NHL draft. Now, during his 3 years at Michigan State, McEachern earned 33 goals, 35 assists, that's 68 points for Michigan State. Looking forward to watching him at the next level. All right, Oakland University fell 68-67. Yes, 68-67, 1 point in the Vegas 16 title game against Old Dominion last night. Kay Felder, is he fun to watch or what? He was the leading scorer for the Grizz, scoring 24 points and adding 11 assists. Old Dominion led for the entire second half, but needed leading scorer Trey Freeman to score a pivotal moment down the stretch. Detroit Lions linebacker DeAndre Levy, he wrote a lengthy email to the Detroit Free Press detailing his opinions on the CTE issue. Now, Levy had been posting Instagram posts about the NFL and CTE, specifically Jim Irsay's recent comments. Now, in his email, Levy addressed his fears of CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, but also explained why he continues to play the game. Now, you'll get to hear exactly what Levy had to say in just a moment, all right? You don't want to miss that. That should be an interesting combo as well. A Shelby Township man pleaded guilty to embezzling money from a youth baseball league and is to pay $21,440 in restitution in the case. Now, Joseph Wallace Wolf Jr., I'll say his name again. Joseph Wallace Wolf Jr., the man deserves to be put on blast, 51 years old. He pleaded guilty Monday to embezzlement, $1,000 to $20,000 from a nonprofit or charitable organization, and two added misdemeanor counts related to improper disposition of proceeds from charitable gaming. Sick, dude. Come on, man. This is your kid you're talking about. All right, D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young addressed the media yesterday for the first time since a video surfaced of Young speaking about other women while he is engaged to rapper Iggy Azalea. Now, Russell was booed by the home crowd and after the game apologized for the video, saying that he is, quote, sick about it. Russell still claims he has no idea how the video was made public, saying, quote, it was a prank. It wasn't something for everyone else to see. It was for my eyes, his eyes only. That was it. Yeah, we'll have more on that in just a sec. Also, last but certainly not least, I may be paying for this one, folks. It has been confirmed that Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor will headline UFC 200 in Las Vegas on July 9th. Now, the fight will take place in the welterweight division and is expected to be one of the most high-profile pay-per-view events in the history of the promotion. Now, the other confirmed fights are Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar in the interim featherweight title, Travis Brown versus Cain Velasquez, Derek Brunson versus Gegard Mousasi, and Joe Lauzon and Diego Sanchez. That is a fantastic lineup of fights. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in, share your thoughts on anything, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at Current Sports, Facebook.com/Current Sports, and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, all right? So weigh in, again, all the way up until 2 p.m. Let's start the show.
I've been asked that question 110 times, and my answer, my feelings stay the same. I wish I could make things better right away, but I can't. It wasn't a prank. It wasn't something for everybody else to see. It's from my eyes, his eyes only, and that was it. Talked a little bit, but I let him know my apologies. I don't know if they would accept it. But I wouldn't blame them. We play around and we joke and we laugh and we say things that you don't really repeat. And that was just an incident of, I guess, playing too much goes wrong.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gents, boys and girls. You are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870. And what you just heard was the voice of rookie guard for the Los Angeles Lakers, D'Angelo Russell, as he addressed the media prior to last night's Lakers and Heat game. Not only did Russell address the media, but prior to his arrival, Nick Young also addressed the media and gave brief, and I do mean brief, thoughts on the situation concerning the two teammates. And again, if you missed it and if you've been living under a rock and didn't know about this story, again, D'Angelo Russell, they were relaxing in a room, and D'Angelo Russell felt the need to take out his smartphone and record a conversation between himself and teammate Nick Young concerning relations with other women. Now, first off, why even whip out your phone to record a conversation like that is beyond me. But at the same time, what makes it even juicier is that Nick Young is engaged to hip-hop artist Iggy Azalea, and they have been since last summer. And the details, I guess, an encounter that a relation that Nick Young had with a at the time, 19-year-old woman. And, you know, it also goes on to say, as the video goes on, you can hear Nick Young say, oh, no, I didn't talk to her. I guess talking about a different woman. I didn't talk to her because she knows my girl. So just sticky, you know, from the standpoint, and we hit on this yesterday, because this is your teammate at the end of the day. This is your teammate. And looking at the apologies, first off, how awkward was that, folks, watching that yesterday? I mean, when they had the press conference and they rolled it in live, and I was just so curious to see the demeanors of both Young and Russell. It's so awkward. Even having to talk about a situation like this, because that was a conversation that should have happened behind closed doors. The public, it should have never gotten out to the public. So the big question that everyone's debating this morning, bleeding into the afternoon, is whether or not D'Angelo Russell's apology was sincere. And again, you heard his apology there. He's sick about it, quote unquote. But I'm not going to sit up here and act like a psychologist, folks. I don't know if it was sincere, to be honest with you. I'm not going to pretend that I thought it was sincere. I'm not going to pretend that I thought it wasn't sincere. When looking at the situation, I think it's something that just needed to happen, because no one predicted that this story would elevate to these heights, okay? When the video initially came out, I said, okay, that's pretty ugly. That's pretty ugly. And I knew that it would be a topic of conversation when it comes to, you know, media outlets that cover celebrities like a TMZ, all right? But I never thought it would become as big as it has become in media outlets such as ESPN, all right, or Yahoo, and so on and so forth. But it's like the lead story everywhere. You cannot avoid this story because it hits on so many things. And D'Angelo coming out and addressing the media, again, a product of circumstance. He needed to come out and appear to be sincere. He needed to come out and apologize, because this is becoming now a sideshow within the Lakers organization. If not watching this team on a basketball court isn't already a sideshow, they're terrible, right? And thank goodness that the Lakers are not a good basketball team, because just imagine if the Lakers were a playoff team, we would have to hear about this story in the June, all right? At least 10 times a broadcast, all right? So it's a good thing that it happened on the back end of the NBA year. It's a good thing that the Lakers have no shot at an NBA playoff berth, because this is a story that is going to die pretty quickly in the coming weeks, because the NBA year is already done. But, you know, looking at an entire press conference and listening to the questions that D'Angelo Russell fielded from reporters in that moment, I was waiting on the simple question as to why. Why did D'Angelo Russell feel the need to take out his phone and record the conversation in the first place? And that was a question that was not asked in that press conference. That's what puzzled me. So I got a question when it comes to those reporters in the room. Why didn't they just ask him, why did you record it? I don't get it. And now I know he says that, you know, him and Nick Young, they're the pranksters on the team. They love to have fun and joke around. But I see nothing funny with recording a conversation about you dealing with other women, about your teammate dealing with other women. And then I am completely not buying that D'Angelo Russell does not know how the video was made public. I don't buy that. I just don't. It was recorded on your phone, brother. Okay? You had to send it to somebody. You had to send it on social media somewhere for it to get out. I mean, I'm just not buying that whatsoever. So now the question comes. Now, again, it's being reported that the Lakers have been isolating D'Angelo Russell, not really talking to him, and it's bleeding on to the X's and O's on the basketball court. It's getting really ugly. It has already gotten really, really ugly. And the question for me is, you know, for D'Angelo Russell's future, as he moves on in his very young NBA career, again, D'Angelo Russell's only a rookie, how will this affect him as a player when it comes to his relationship with his teammates on the Lakers, and let's say, you know, throughout his NBA career, if he goes and plays somewhere else. How can you ever trust D'Angelo Russell if you are a teammate of his? So, yeah, that's just a big mess. I wanted to start the show with that because, again, that's like the story in sports right now. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's move on now and talk about last night's McDonald's All-American game. Brief thoughts on that. My goodness. I am really impressed with what I see from Mr. Josh Jackson. I see, and just like I said, I clearly see why this young man is the number one recruit for the class of 2016. There is really nothing, and I really looked at this game last night, even though, again, take it with a grain of salt because there's really no defense being played. It reminded me last night of an NBA All-Star game. No defense being played, just a lot of guys out there having fun. You saw a lot of alley-oops, flashy plays. Just backyard basketball is what I like to call it, all right? So, you know, it's not like Josh Jackson was going against, you know, defensive juggernauts last night. But what I saw last night from Josh is just one super, just ridiculously athletic talent that can transition, in my opinion, to the NBA right now. If that rule wasn't in place where he had to go to college for at least a year, you know, that one-and-done college rule, man, I think that Josh could make that leap from high school to the pros. The kid is that good. I mean, he's 6'7". He's a long athletic wing. He's got a really nice jump shot on him. I really love his stroke. He can hammer it down with the best of them. He's got mad hops. He's a great defender. And that's something that a lot of people have raved about when discussing Jackson as well. He's a fantastic defender, a lockdown defender that can guard anybody at any level, I believe. And another thing about him is that he's got this incredible first step. I don't know if you guys have seen Josh. When he really gets going, when he's got the basketball, he goes 0 to 100 real quick, all right? That first step is so impressive. So the kid's a phenom right now. Again, he is undecided. You heard that at least 20 times throughout the ESPN broadcast last night of the Mickey D's High School Boys All-Star Game. And, you know, again, three choices here: Michigan State, Kansas, or Arizona. Now, to try and dive into the mind of where a young 19-year-old kid is going to take his basketball talent in college is just we don't know, okay? We don't know unless you are really, really close to Josh Jackson, unless you are a really close pal of his, or if you're his mom, or if you're a member of his family. You really don't know what's going through the mind of Josh Jackson. We played a report early on this week when he sat down with Rivals.com, all right? And the reporter asked Josh, who's in the lead right now? And he initially said, you know, Arizona. He's got the closer relationship with that coaching staff. He really likes the atmosphere out there. But, you know, and as time went on and he's done other interviews, you know, he's also talked about and raved about Kansas, you know, and how that being the craziest atmosphere he's ever been in at a college basketball game. And he's also talked about Michigan State. And he was also asked in that Rivals interview how Miles Bridges has been the number one guy. Out of all of his buddies in the world of basketball, Miles Bridges, his homie, has been the one advocating and pushing for Michigan State more so than any other one of his friends. So who knows what this young stud is going to do? Only time will tell. Again, it's being reported that he does know where he wants to go, but he's just waiting on the right time to let the public know. But to sit up here and act like, yeah, he's going to go here, we're just throwing stuff at the wall and hoping that it sticks right now, all right? But what we do know is this: Josh Jackson is going to be a fun player wherever he goes. I mean, he could go and play at Lansing Community College, all right? I mean, it doesn't matter. He's going to be must-see TV wherever he goes. He is that good. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, to the show. Isaac, how you doing?
Doing well, Al. Yeah, excited for this incoming class after last night showing not only Josh Jackson, although, of course, he was the standout, game-high 19 points for him, but Josh Langford with a quiet 12. You know, he's not a really flashy player. Kind of an old man game almost at 6'5". Has a lot of back downs, easy crossovers to smooth shots. Won't translate to the highlight tape always, but he's a hell of a talent. And then Miles Bridges as well, who last night, yeah, you heard all about that in the quick hit headliners. Oh my gosh. Talking about that athleticism on a guy who's 225. 225.
Right.
As a senior in high school. So it's an exciting incoming class. And then it just looks like an exciting class in general for college basketball. We had a couple Arizona commits. Speaking of that school, also show out with a couple nice dunks. And like you mentioned, it's the all-star game of high school basketball. I'm not sure how much you can really glean from it, but it's fun to watch nonetheless.
Definitely. And, you know, I saw that it was a dual MVP for both Josh Jackson and another kid named Jackson as well.
Frank Jackson.
Frank Jackson, exactly. He's going to Duke, I think.
Yes, he
Frank
is
going to Duke. And yeah, it's kind of ironic that both Jacksons are you know, got the MVP last night. So they're going to be fun to watch. And again, we're going to give you guys a preview of tonight's Current Sports TV sit down with Adam Biggers of Today's U Sports. And Adam has a very interesting take on the whole situation concerning Josh Jackson and where he's going to take his basketball talent. And he even comes out and gives a prediction on where he thinks he's going to go. So you don't want to miss that. And again, you can catch Current Sports TV, the visual of it, tonight at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. You'll get to see highlights other than the McDonald's All-Star Game of Mr. Josh Jackson, and you get to hear from that Rivals interview as well. So that and more on tonight's Current Sports TV. All right, folks. Well, he is in our studio right now, and he does one outstanding job for us here at WKAR's Current Sports as a production assistant. And I tell you what, he's the biggest hockey nut I have ever met in my life. He knows his ice. All right, folks. It's time for 2 minutes for Roughing with the one, the only, Mr. Jason Ruff.
Detroit penalty number 52, 2 minutes for roughing.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
All right, he's in our studio right now, Mr. Jason Ruff. Now, Jason, first off, man, there's a lot going on in the world of hockey right now.
Stuff.
A lot of things to touch upon. First of all, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good, you know. I came back from a internship interview in Chicago.
Yes, really I'm good. Rooting for you. I hope you get that, dude. That'd be a great look. So, all right, we'll start off. What you got for us, dude?
Well, first off, I'm going to come out and say this right now. I do not think the Red Wings are going to make the playoffs.
I don't think they are. Right? Because, this is a franchise that currently right now holds the longest streak, the longest postseason streak in North American sports. But right now, can you kind of give us a breakdown of how things stack up?
I think right now the Red Wings are ninth place in the Eastern Conference. That's one spot out of the playoffs. I don't think they have the mustard to push up over that eighth spot, overtake Philadelphia, and get that last play. And honestly, I think kind of the Red Wings organization has gotten a little complacent as of right now, and I think they kind of need some kind of shakeup, like missing the playoffs, to kind of shake them out of it. Fight complacency and never settle out.
Certainly. What do the Wings, okay, if this is going to happen by any stretch of the imagination, what do the Wings need to happen to give them a chance at making the playoffs?
Get points. They need to play better down the stretch, play better defense. They need their old guys, Zetterberg, Dotsick, they need those guys to be going. And they need their young guns to step back up. It can't just be one or two guys. They need all of them.
And right now in that final tier of those competing for a final spot in the playoffs, I mean, they're competing with Boston.
Philadelphia.
I see Philly is also in that conversation, New York as well. And do you know how the schedules stack up when it comes to those three teams in comparison to the Wings?
I think the Wings have a tough slog going ahead, which in comparison to those other teams, I really think Philadelphia's going to get that last spot.
Crazy stuff. So let's say the Wings don't make the playoffs here, Jason. What needs to happen next year for this team to get back on the saddle?
I think they need to reorganize and refocus on what they need to do. I think they just need to refocus.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
It's all mental with this team then right now, huh?
Yeah, it's all mental.
So they play the Minnesota Wild, I'm seeing, tomorrow, right?
Yep.
Then Saturday, Toronto. Wednesday, Philly. That should be a big game.
That will be a big game.
Thursday against Boston. That'll be on the road and against the Rangers as well. Going to be very, very tight. All right, also, as you heard in our Quick Hit headliners, Mackenzie McEachern, formerly of the Michigan State hockey team, has decided to take his talent to the next level.
Good for him.
Yeah, what do you think about that? I mean, he signed a two-year contract.
Kind of saw this coming, honestly, Al. I thought it was going to be 50-50 on whether or not he'd come back or go pro. And I don't blame him one bit for taking the money and going to St. Louis. I think that's a good thing both for him and the program. Michigan State needs more people coming up in going to the pros. Speaking of former Michigan State Spartans in the pros, former MSU hockey alum Wes McCauley, who's now an official in the National Hockey League, had the most epic goal call you have ever seen.
After reviewing the play, the call on the ice stands. We got a goal!
With authority.
That's a lot of emotion there.
That
man.
Is a lot of emotion.
He's an MSU hockey alum. Did
yes,
not know that.
Played here at MSU in the early 90s. Was also drafted by the Detroit Red Wings.
Interesting. Okay.
But the big story that has a lot of people in the college hockey community buzzing right now is a recent article by Graham Couch for the Lansing State Journal, in which he interviewed Mark Hollis on the state of the Michigan State hockey program. Among other things, Mark Hollis had this to say. Quote, "I feel really good at where we're at. I, like everyone else, get frustrated as a fan when we're going through the year and you have games where you feel like you're being challenged a little bit as a spectator. But I'm also an AD that has to look at, okay, what's the next 5 years going to look like based on the past 5 years? And all the assessments I've put into this and all the folks I've talked to, I'm very confident where we're that we're going to have success here next year and in the immediate future." Al, in my opinion, Hollis's statements come off as too content with the current situation of Michigan State hockey. I mean, they're coming off a 10-win season. Mm-hmm. And a season which they lost to Michigan 3 out of 4 times, but with 2 losses at home.
Right, right.
I think it's uncharacteristic of Mark Hollis to appear to be okay with the status quo instead of, you know, reaching higher or never not being satisfied. It's uncharacteristic.
Now, I want to jump in real quick, and I have kind of a two-part question for you,
Go
Jason.
Ahead.
When looking at that statement from Mark Hollis, do you think that's more so having Tom Anastas' backing and giving him at least one more year to get this thing right? Do you think that's where that's coming from? Because for him, if he was to come out and say maybe what he really feels, it would kind of be alluding to, okay, we got to let Tom Anastas go.
I think this is more a statement in support of Tom Anastas, but I think also what's really got a lot of people wigged out is the fact that he said, "I feel really good where we're at after a horrible season." Mm-hmm. I would have liked to see Hollis come out and say something to effect that he was not happy with the results of the season and it's not acceptable for Michigan State. At the same time, he's confident that next year and in the immediate future, Michigan State hockey will be successful and Tom Anastas will be the facilitator of that success. That does two things. That not only gives Tom Anastas the vote of confidence that Hollis obviously wants to give, and which honestly he deserves. I want to see what Tom Anastas does with this good class coming in next year, but that also lets fans know that he's paying attention to what's happening with Michigan State hockey and that he's not happy where the program's at.
And my second thought here, Jason, a lot of what perception yields when it comes to Spartan hockey fans has to do with what that other team out in Ann Arbor is doing and the fact that Michigan on a consistent basis is competing for a possible national championship, competing clearly every single year for a Big Ten championship.
It's for sure.
That has a lot to do with how people view where Michigan State hockey is. Because if you're behind that other team, it's a problem, right?
Exactly. And, you know, you look at it, Michigan State lost 3 straight home games to Michigan this year and last year. The first time that's happened, as I said earlier to this podcast, Al, since the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And look, I agree. It takes 9 to 10 years to go from zero to elite. It's something that both Tom Anastas and Mark Hollis has said multiple times. 9 to 10 years to get from zero to elite. But before they can get to elite, they need to get to be competitive first. Mm-hmm. And that competitiveness needs to be happening now. It happened last year. It didn't happen this year. Now, I understand stuff happens that are not in the coach's control that contributed to that. But for a lot of people's sake, both Tom Anastas' sake and Mark Hollis' sake, I hope that Hollis is right and that next year Michigan State's going to be competitive because they need to be competitive now.
Jason, how far behind are they from being considered elite?
I think they're a ways, honestly. I think recruiting is getting better, but honestly, this program needs a spark right now.
Who's coming in? Do you know what's the recruiting class looking like for next
year? Char Horosi's a kid from the British Columbia Hockey League, native of Calgary, Alberta. He's had a really good season up there in Salmon Arm. We'll see how he transitions. Michigan State also has a couple of good forwards coming from the USHL. Sam Saliba, kid from Illinois, rep the land of Lincoln.
Right.
And Logan Lambden, two really good guys on their respective teams, both in the top 20 USHL scoring. Some good defensemen I like. Mitch Elliott will be an NHL draft pick. I'm quite sure of, and John Leatherman will be coming in also from the USHL as a goaltender to replace Jake Hildebrand as the backup, and it will be Ed Minnie in net, who I'm really excited to see, and there may be a couple more additions, Al, so stay tuned. This
now,
class ain't over yet.
Yeah, without a doubt, and what do you think will be considered moving the needle for this team when it comes to success? What will be considered a successful year for Michigan State realistically next season?
Realistically, I think successful will be a top three finish in the Big Ten, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think I'm hopeful, you know, praying hopeful here that the freshmen will overachieve, honestly, because look, this is the last year that really Michigan State's going to have a good chance to win the conference outright, because you have Michigan's going to lose a lot of players. Red Berenson may or may not be back. Minnesota's also lost a lot of players. Wisconsin's going to be in that weird mode where they have a brand new coaching staff, but they still have those old players, so they're a little wild card. Penn State's losing their big senior class. It's been their rock and anchor since day one. And Ohio State's, no, will they go up? Will they go down? No one really knows right now. The general consensus is they'll be going up. But the year after that, in 2017-18, Notre Dame comes to the conference, and they're really good. And, you know, who else comes in after that? We don't know. So, Michigan State, if you want to move the needle, he needs to time is now. No
time
more dealing
is certainly
down.
Now. Certainly now. And again, you kind of, that's a great segue into my next question. We have not gotten your thoughts on Notre Dame now joining the Big Ten Hockey Conference for next year. Do you think that was a great move? Now, I heard rumors about maybe Arizona State
that
also
is true.
Joining the conference
that
as well.
That is true. I think, to answer your question first, Notre Dame coming in, great move. They were not in a good position in Hockey East. It was kind of a weird, awkward fit for them. They didn't like the travel time. Big Ten hockey needs to expand from 16, closer to 8 in my opinion. So I think that was a marriage of convenience. Both sides kind of saying, you know, put aside our differences. Let's do this for the greater good of our programs. I like Notre Dame coming in. Traditional rivals with both Michigan State and Michigan. That'll be good for the conference. And you heard right. Rumor has it that Ohio State is the favorite to join the Big Ten conference because of the Power Five.
Arizona State, you mean?
Arizona State. Right. I'm sorry. Did I say Ohio
you
State?
You said Ohio State.
I'm
Ohio
sorry.
State
They're
is
already
on your
in
mind.
The conference.
Yeah, Arizona State, right.
Yeah.
How close is that to being done, or is it just a rumor
that's just a rumor
right.
going around, but word is we will have a better idea around the Frozen Four, so in a couple weeks. Honestly, Al, Arizona State is not my first choice to join in the conference as an eighth member because they're so far out west.
Right. That would be a nice trip for Spartan hockey.
Oh, though. I'm sure it would. But the conference needs to get to eight teams, and if they facilitate that getting this conference up to eight teams, I'm all for it because that's where it needs to be.
And as far as my thoughts on Notre Dame, you know, I think it's great if they're joining the Big Ten Hockey Conference. I love that. And, again, they have a proven track record of success in these recent years. But I also look at the full spectrum of things. If Notre Dame is going to do this, they like stepping their toe in the water right
they
now.
They do.
Why don't you
they
just
do.
Jump right in?
They do.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I think it's good for the competition
here's the other
within
thing.
The program.
Here's the other thing you have to consider out. Perhaps, this maybe facilitates further conversations to maybe get Notre Dame to join the conference, maybe 5, 10, 15 years down the road. You never
right.
know.
Exactly.
This opens the door. You know?
It opens the door, but it's like Notre Dame, if you're going to do it all the way. All right? But, hey, I think it pushes the overall product of Big Ten hockey to a level. You know, it bumps them up a little
it's
bit.
It's a good move
for
the conference, and the conference needs to build.
All right. Jason Ruff, my man. Great segment. 2 minutes for Ruffing. As always, how can people follow you, Jason?
On Twitter, at Jason_R_Ruff. Also on Impact Sports Behind the Mask, the podcast that we host. We're actually going to be recording one today and having it out either tomorrow or the day after. So hit us up on Impact Sports, Michigan State's only student-run radio station.
My man, Jason Ruff. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll give you guys a preview of tonight's current sports TV sit-down with Adam Biggers of today's U Sports. He will break down his thoughts on Mr. Josh Jackson. Also, he will talk about the transfers of Michigan's Spike Aubrey. Also, MSU's Javon Best, Marvin Clark Jr., that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to give you guys a quick update on the Tigers game taking place right now. The Tigers are playing the New York Yankees, and it is in the top of the second. The Tigers have a 3-2 lead over the Yanks. You know, Isaac, I just feel like the MLB spring baseball year just goes too long.
It does.
You know, it's like they, like, go all the way up until, like, opening day almost. You know, it's like these players play pretty much all year already. You know, why don't you just cut it to, like, maybe 2 or 3 weeks at the most?
Oh, yeah.
And let him get out there and then, you know, let him rest a little bit and then play the game. They already play, like, what, 1,000 MLB games throughout the regular season? So, I don't know. I just feel like it just becomes a drag after a while.
Oh, it totally is. It's the most draining regular season schedule. You've got 162 games.
Nuts.
You've got to keep traveling. You've got series instead of individual games. And then you want these players to play, what, 4 weeks, 5 weeks of preseason play?
Insane.
That's a tough ask.
Right, I agree. Also, I got to pass this news along. Now, we talked at length about Russell Westbrook having a problem with Mr. Reggie Jackson and his celebration after the Pistons beat the Thunder earlier this week. Well, Kevin Durant has now echoed Westbrook's take on Jackson's celebration.
I love this, man. Yeah, I love this.
At the end of the game, it was an 88-82 win over the Oklahoma City Thunder on Tuesday. And Durant has called it, quote, Bush League. Quote, it was Bush League, in my opinion. And then he goes on to say, jumping up and down, running around. I understand you're happy you won the game, but our whole team didn't play. We would have beat the hell out of you. The hell out of them if it did. Now, Durant, along with Serge Ibaka, of course, didn't play against the Pistons because of planned rest. So he was unavailable to reporters after the game on Tuesday. So that's why you didn't hear any comments from Durant during that time. Quote, I wanted to play against Detroit for sure, but you know, it's Detroit. Then he goes on to say this. Talk about shots fired, all right? I'm taking this personal, KD. Quote, who cares about Detroit? End quote. That's a direct quote from Kevin Durant. Quote, who cares about Detroit? Kevin Durant, Isaac, just lost a fan. I'm not a fan. He just lost. With that statement, that's too personal. This is one guy we're talking about, Reggie Jackson. Okay, if you got a quarrel with Mr. Jackson, you take it up with Reggie Jackson, not the entire city of Detroit. I had a major problem with that comment.
I have a problem with that too. At some level, the part of me that's a city boy, a loyal city boy, all of that stuff. At the same time, I think this bodes well for the NBA. I was just hoping, crossing my fingers, that these teams somehow get realigned and put into the same conference.
Right.
Because that would be one heck of a playoff series. I like this sort of back and forth antagonism. It's so much more entertaining. But wow, those are some serious shots fired.
Who
cares about Detroit?
Who cares about Detroit?
So,
wow.
Yeah, Kevin Durant's also a free agent this summer. Guess that crosses Detroit off his list. But another thing is, I don't know if you remember, Kevin Durant, when he came into the league, was Mr. Quiet Guy.
Yeah.
Mr. Silent, right. Mr. Serious, Mr. Not Say a Thing out of line. Recently, he's called Dwight Howard something. Yeah, something like that. And then he's gotten into it with refs. He's gotten technical after technical. He's getting a little more of a hardened side to him.
Yeah, he is. And
I
you
don't
know,
mind that.
And it's an interesting article, and I wish I could bring it up right now, but Sports Illustrated detailed an article when it comes to the Oklahoma City Thunder and their relationship with the media. OKC really doesn't nobody likes talking to the media, and they really give the media there very limited access when it comes to their players. But with that being said, when they do talk, when Kevin Durant does talk, as of recently especially, he's been pushing a grain. He has certainly been pushing a grain. So, I don't know, what do you think about KD's comments? Again, I'll read them again. This is what Kevin Durant had to say concerning Reggie Jackson celebrating, if you remember, during that 88-82 win that the Pistons accrued over the Thunder earlier this week. Quote, it was Bush League, in my opinion. Jumping up and down, running around. I understand you're happy you won the game, but our whole team didn't play. We would have beat the hell out of them if it did. I wanted to play against Detroit for sure, but you know, it's Detroit. Who cares about Detroit? What are your thoughts on that? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We actually have a caller right now on line one. It's our dear friend who we haven't heard from in quite some time. Kamiya is on the line. Kamiya, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you been, Al?
Fantastic. Good to hear your voice.
It's good to talk with you. I've been listening, but sometimes I don't get a chance to call.
It's all good. We know you got the radio on.
Yeah. I was gonna call yesterday and mess with Isaac, but I chose not to. But
okay. What's on your mind?
So I wasn't gonna call today, but then you just read this article from Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to say that I'm not any longer the biggest Detroit Pistons fan, but I've been thinking since Isaac talked yesterday, I was thinking, after what you said, the guy, you know, from the Pistons that was running around.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, so he was on your team. You didn't give him a chance to play. You know what I'm saying? You didn't give him a chance to be who he is, and Detroit did. For me, if I'm in the presence of somebody that pretty much made me feel like I'm nothing, and then I beat you, I'm going to run around with my hands up, too.
Right.
Because had you kept me, you probably would have been victorious.
Exactly.
So for Kevin Durant to say, well, our whole team didn't play, first of all, it's a team, not a Kevin Durant. Like, it's the Thunders. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a team. So your whole team should have been building up their skills to be able to beat the Pistons whether you played or not. So all that pretty much tells me is your team is nothing without you. Like, that's what that comment said to me. It's like, I feel like you. He just lost another fan because I used to like Kevin Durant till you just read that.
Yeah, as soon as I read that comment, like, my fandom just went out the door for him. I respect his game. He's one of the best players in the NBA without a doubt. You can't ignore that. But as far as, you know, because I just love the – you know, Isaac brought up, you know, how KD, when he first got to the league, he was real quiet, real humble. But, man, you can't say nothing like that, dude. I mean, I think the whole city of Detroit just garnered some hate for KD. Camille, great call.
All right, then I'll talk to y'all later.
All right, let's get to our current sports TV preview for tonight. Again, I got a chance to sit down with Adam Biggers in front of our live studio audience last night. We had a solid audience last night. Thank you to those who showed up. And I got a chance to sit down with Adam and sort of pick his brain on what's been taking place in the world of college hoops, specifically when concerning Michigan State basketball and Michigan basketball. Now, we do also dive into a little bit of spring football talk when talking about the MSU football team and Jim Harbaugh, what he's doing out in Ann Arbor. But I first wanted to, and we're going to give you guys a bit of a snippet right now of tonight's current sports TV sit down with Adam. And I first wanted to ask him about his initial thoughts concerning the transfers of Javon Bess and Marvin Clark Jr. Because Bess, I certainly kind of saw that one coming. But as far as Marvin Clark, that certainly turned my head a bit. Here's what Adam had to say.
I'm with you. When I heard about Marvin, that kind of shocked me a little bit. And I don't know. I think if you've talked to him a few times, he's one of those guys, you cover them enough. He's got a good personality, always open to talk. And Tom Izzo had mentioned in the season-ending press conference that a couple guys, you know, maybe two or three, and, you know, you're right, everybody was thinking Javon Bess. I think that was pretty much a no-brainer. So to hear that didn't surprise me, but for Marvin, yes, definitely a big surprise. I thought that he had a lot to offer, you know, as far as, you know, I was talking about this, you know, with some friends the other day, kind of the pick-and-pop option. That was kind of the buzzword around Marvin all year, and, athletic rebounder. He can give you quality minutes off the bench and, you know, had that really tight relationship with Tum Tum. You know, you looked forward to seeing Marvin for 4 years and develop into something. I never thought he'd be a superstar, but I thought that he'd be a guy for 4 years. When his time comes, that people were talking about, hey, look at the work that Marvin Clark put in here.
And, right.
You know, a guy that Izzo would talk about at that level as well.
Certainly. And, you know, both kind of a victim of circumstance this past year, Adam, because, I mean, this team could go about 15 deep. They were so deep. And a bit unfortunate when looking at their MSU careers. I mean, Bess had a foot injury his freshman year. Then we saw Clark have a foot injury and have foot surgery, actually, back in September. So you got to take care of your bunions. I guess that's one lesson here. But at the same time, you know, if you have a team that's that deep, any little thing, if you miss one game, your position could be taken by somebody else.
Well, and I think, too, what it's kind of fair to mention, especially for a guy like Javon, who just never seemed, the timing just never seemed right for him. I think it's fair to mention when you look at, you know, what Tom Izzo has coming in next year, I mean, nobody's job's really safe. I know everybody's fixated on Josh Jackson and want to know what he's going to do, but don't forget, I mean, Miles Bridges and Josh Langford and Nick Ward and Cassius Winston, those guys aren't scrubs.
Right.
I mean, they're highly rated players, some of the best players Tom Izzo has ever recruited. So I don't think it's a make or break thing with Josh Jackson, but if you're one of the, you know, a guy like Javon Bess struggling for minutes or a guy like Marvin Clark kind of in limbo, I think maybe you have to see the writing on the wall and see, you know, Nick Ward's going to play. Langford's most likely going to play. You know, so their minutes were up for grabs, and I think that they knew it.
Now, Adam, a great segue into my next question. You saw the footage of Josh Jackson talking to Rivals.com about his decision. It comes down to Michigan State, Arizona, and Kansas. Simple question for you, I should say. Kind of simple. Where is Josh Jackson going next year? Where do you think we will see him next year when he goes to college?
Not Michigan State. No.
Why?
It's one of those feeling things. Mm-hmm. And his recruitment's been kind of funny, right? Because as the clip showed, initially, you know, he's thought to be an MSU lean, and then there was a rumor about him committing to Kansas, and there's all kinds of, you know, kind of things in the background that are pulling at him, you know, relationships. Does he stay home, you know?
And, yeah, because his girlfriend goes to, right. we were chatting, Kersey is going to U of M next year, and she's a fantastic player. I mean, she scored 72 points in one high school basketball game a few months ago. I mean, she's unbelievable, and they were actually seen in the stands when Josh came for his official recruiting visit. So if his girl is going to Michigan, does he want to be close to her? There's so many things you have to weigh in this whole situation.
And plus, I mean, and you have to. A lot of people, I think, don't really understand this because they think it's such a cut and dry decision. And especially if you're a fan of the school, well, of course, and he should go play for your team. But I think you have to put yourself in these guys' position. It's a decision that they make one time. A player like Josh Jackson's probably going to spend 1 year in college and go to the NBA. Is that something that, well, it is something that Tom Izzo wouldn't mind him doing here. But, I mean, Arizona would be a good place for that. Kansas with Wayne Selden. You know, there's going to be options for him. I think that he fits well at Michigan State. Miles Bridges, you know, is a good friend of his. Cassius Winston as well. My gut feeling says that where he plays college basketball, you know, Kansas or Arizona, I think, not Michigan State.
Gotcha. And as far as those two other programs other than Michigan State are concerned, with Kansas and Arizona, why do you think he leans more so to those two schools than Michigan State?
Well, I don't know if it's a case where I feel like it would – to give them an advantage. I just think it's not Michigan State. If you look at some of the videos and, you know, kind of body language.
Just body. So basically going on what you've heard in interviews how he talks about all three schools.
If I had to pick right now, like I said, that's why I said not Michigan State. I don't know if Kansas or Arizona, but I'm pretty certain not Michigan State.
Yeah, and this is why I hate recruiting, dude. Right. You know, if there's anything, I love my job, love what I do, but recruiting, I hate it to the depths of my soul because we're trying to figure out where a 17-year-old kid is going to take his basketball talents and trying to dive into his mind. There's so many factors that we just don't know about. So
absolutely.
We'll see. Only time will tell where Josh Jackson will go. Also want to bring up another transfer. News broke about Spike Aubrey at U of M transferring to a different school. Now, he played the first 9 games of this season, and then he spent most of the year rehabbing his hips. Were you shocked at all about Spike trying this whole basketball thing, giving another go somewhere else?
I'm not shocked at all, but it is. You look at Spike Albrecht's career, and I mean, where do you want to start? I mean, emotional leader, one of those guys that really well respected by his teammates, but it was kind of weird circumstances, right? So he has the hip surgery, both sides done, and you know, there's going to be recovery time. I don't think anybody expected him to be 100%. And then out of blue, it was kind of, okay, well, I'm retiring from basketball, which is the polar opposite vibe you get from him. When I remember talking to him on media day when he was saying, you know, he's still, like, jumping for loose balls in practice, and Beeline was telling him to chill out because, you know, hey, the season hasn't started. We need you healthy.
Right.
So when we heard that Spike Albrecht was retiring, you know, it was kind of a –
you were a big skeptical when you heard
it
first?
Well, I don't know if I would say skeptical. It's kind of like, well, why? You know, but now to preserve a year, and good for him that he's going to – I think a lot of Michigan fans thought that he was going to come back miraculously. He's going to stick around, and a lot of people were waiting. Is Karis ever – you know, that's a whole other story. Is Karis ever going to come back? For Spike Albrecht, and I think he said it perfectly, that he wanted to go out on his own terms. He's a competitive guy. I could not see Spike Albrecht just saying, you know what, basketball, I give – I just couldn't see that happening. So when you are a very young team like Michigan, and Beeline's been saying that they're young for a couple years now, they're going to be young again next year.
Right.
What do you miss the most when you're a young team? What do you need the most? Even if he's not a star player, you want an older guy in the locker room for presence. Well, they don't have that because Spike's gone. I really like Spike Albrecht's game.
Love him. He's so fun to
hustle.
Watch.
All hustle. You never question his effort. Guys like him don't come along all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I kind of look at it as more of it's a loss, but it's kind of just the cost of doing business.
Do you have any idea of where Spike will go?
They haven't said anything about Spike or Ricky, and because Ricky Doyle also transferred forward. Another guy, kind of like Marvin, real respectable. Ricky would talk to you after a really bad game. Especially if he had a really bad game. He never was someone shut you out. He would talk
both great kids.
Talk about what he needs to improve on. No word yet, but I mean, you know, we'll find. I project, you know, maybe Marvin. I think he could be a star at a mid-major. He is from Kansas. Maybe he goes home and plays for Wichita State, because you have to, I don't know if you know, his old coach at Sunrise Christian is actually, Kyle Lindstedt is actually now an assistant with Wichita State.
Did not know
so
that. Okay.
That's just what I'm guessing. I don't know.
Just throwing stuff out and just see if it sticks.
If you want to think what would be a logical next move, I would think that if I'm Marvin Clark, I'm calling Kyle Winstead and saying, hey, can you hook me up at Wichita State?
Okay, all right. And briefly going back to this whole Josh Jackson situation, and I've gotten this question a lot, you know, thrown on our radio show, Current Sports Radio, again, weekdays, 1 o'clock, 1 to 2 p.m. on WKR AM at 70. I've gotten this question thrown out. Whether or not Michigan State going out in the first round of the NCAA tourney has hurt their, I guess, play in this whole situation and possibly getting Josh Jackson. Do you think that hurt Michigan State's chances at all?
If it did, then maybe, I don't know, maybe you view it as you don't want a player who's finicky. Not necessarily finicky, but if that one loss completely changes your mind on the university, the program, everything that has offered, then maybe you didn't look deep enough into, maybe you don't like that program for the right reasons.
It shouldn't be defined by one loss.
I think you can ask, you know, any of the other 2016 commits. I mean, that loss in the tournament, have they wavered? No. I think it was Miles Bridges, or maybe it was Cassius Winston, one of those two, went on record and saying that their early loss actually kind of lit a fire under them. It's pushing them now, you know, to, when they get here, knowing the potential that was last year, and you know, fans are heartbroken, and you know, very much unexpected by anybody who covers. Nobody thought. I mean, by rights, Michigan State should probably still be playing right now, right? We should be talking about the Spartans entering the Final Four, but that's not happening. I don't think that the early loss. I can't speak for Josh Jackson, but I'm willing to guess that the early loss. Probably won't influence his decision.
Certainly. All right. Well, before we go to the 12th man here, Adam, I want to bring up a bit of spring football. We saw the footage of Michigan State getting out there. They've been at it for a little over a week now. Last week, Tuesday, is when they officially got on the field. They finally put on the pads this week. What are your biggest question marks for the Michigan State spring football team going into the spring season right now? What are you looking at to really even itself out, iron out the wrinkles right here? What's your question marks for this team?
Quarterback.
Certainly. Right. The obvious element.
I think you said it, you know, in your intro, the most decorated quarterback in Spartans history. Who's going to follow in Connor Cook's footsteps? And if you think back a few years ago, Kirk Cousins had, you know, such an illustrious career. And then the next guy in line was Andrew Maxwell.
Right.
And that was struggling. You know, mm-hmm. Michigan State struggled. And I think Andrew struggled with the offense, too. So is there going to be, is Tyler O'Connor going to, you know, be more like a Connor Cook, or is he going to be more like an Andrew Maxwell?
You think he's the guy to really take over that reign, not Damian Terry, as far as that?
I think didn't D'Antonio say it was O'Connor right now? I know a lot of people are waiting for Damian Terry. You know, I know there's Brian Lewerke, he's in the mix too.
Right.
So I think that's a huge question mark right now. And if you're Michigan State, I mean, where is the success, you know, kind of stemmed from within the past 6-7 years? And you've had two of the program's greatest quarterbacks almost back to back, you know, just with Maxwell there in the middle. So
very true.
I think that's a huge question mark right now.
Okay, what about for Michigan? What are you looking this spring season with them to sort of even out?
Well, I know I'm in East Lansing and you guys probably don't want to hear it, but I think Michigan will be not just a good team, I think Michigan will be a very good team this year. They do have, you know, questions at quarterback and losing Jake Rudock, who transferred from Iowa. But I believe that Wilton Spate or John O'Korn, both of those guys have enough to take care of the job. Really what gets Michigan, and I think what impresses me, is just the potential the Wolverines have on defense. So many weapons, really athletic. You know, there's that Jabril kid that you've probably heard a little bit about.
Yeah, pretty good.
Jordan Lewis as well. And then with Brian Monet back healthy for the defensive line, I think that's really big for them. So I'm expecting Michigan's defense to, and I know it's only April, or not even April yet, but spring. I'm expecting Michigan to once again have one of the better defenses in college football.
Looking forward to it. A lot of expectation then. All right. Now, there's also this this other discussion that is surrounding the Michigan football program right now, and that is the conversation with satellite camps. Now, Jim Harbaugh, he actually had he had his team practice over spring break down in Florida not too long ago, and it's been announced that Michigan will also hold another satellite camp in Mississippi, and it's rubbing a few coaches the wrong way. What has been your overall assessment to what Harbaugh is doing as far as not staying in the little bubble of Michigan and going outside the box, thinking outside the box and trying to lure recruits from other places?
I've been impressed. I mean, everybody's anticipating his next move. He makes opposing coaches nervous. Everyone is talking about him. And, you know, we touched on it a little bit ago. What he's doing is not against the rules. And great coaches, you know, guys who, anyone who I think is successful in anything, they find ways to get things done. And while everybody's looking kind of in this narrow scope of this is how we do things, Jim Harbaugh's vision seems to be pretty broad. And I think, you know, he is an interesting guy. And it'd be great to kind of spend a day in his head to figure out, you know, how he thinks, how his reasoning, you know, how he goes about making decisions. But everything that he does just seems to be at the right time, a great idea. And, I mean, so far, so good.
All right, again, folks, Adam Biggers of Today's U Sports, assistant editor for that publication, will be my guest for tonight's Current Sports TV. Catch it tonight at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. It was certainly a fantastic time having Adam on the show. All right, folks, well, 3 minutes left. It's Thursday, and each and every Thursday, we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine and take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. It is March 31st. Here we go.
That the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long. Eisenman
back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots, yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, so what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history? Back in 1973, the greatest, Muhammad Ali, wore a, get this, $10,000 robe with, quote, the people's champion inscribed on it. Ali lost the fight, though, to Ken Norton. Elvis Presley had given the robe to Ali on January 2nd of 1971. How cool is that story? All right, 1990, Joe Sakic became the youngest person in the NHL to score 100 points in a season. He was also the first to do so with a last-place team. In 1991, Brett Hull of the St. Louis Blues recorded his 86th goal of the year. It was his third-best goal in NHL history. In 1992, Cotton Fitzsimmons of the Phoenix Suns became the sixth coach in NBA history to record 800 career wins. In 2003, former U.S. President George H.W. Bush threw out the ceremonial first pitch at the season opener between the Cincinnati Reds and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And in 2004, a rule that I hate to this day, NFL owners adopted a 15-yard penalty for excessive celebrations. The penalty was added to the fines previously in place for choreographed and multiplayer celebrations. Also, if the infraction was flagrant, the player would be ejected. The previous day, the owners had instituted a modified instant replay system for 5 years. That wraps up your Throwback Thursday. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's edition of WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic and dry afternoon. And as always, be easy, people.